So we've got a reading from Acts 1, verses 6 to 11. So when they'd come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who's been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. I have been up since four this morning, so we can have a little bit of more energy from you. That would be great. Let us pray. Father, with the things that are on our hearts that may have distracted us this week, will you melt them away? And may your Holy Spirit come. In Jesus' name, amen. So to recap what we've been looking at so far in our sermon series is that we're looking into the book of Acts. Acts is one of my favourite books because it's got a bunch of interesting people that always get things wrong, and yet they, with the power from the Holy Spirit, they seem to get things right. So I can relate a lot to that in some sense in getting stuff wrong. So that's probably why I like it. And so the book of Acts carries on where the Gospels finish. And so they start this story of where a bunch of people, as the disciples, they've spent 40 days with Jesus after he's been crucified, died, and resurrected again. They spend 40 intense days with Jesus. So it's like an intense training course, if you like. Getting to know all the last bits and pieces that they need to know before he leaves. And so Jesus has told them to stay in Jerusalem and wait for God the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And so when the disciples asked Jesus about the restoration of the kingdom to Israel, they were operating under a traditional view. They anticipated that the Messiah, his arrival to liberate Israel from Roman rule, as evidenced by the jubilant welcome Jesus received on Palm Sunday. However, they misunderstood. The kingdom that Jesus speaks about is a spiritual one. It's not a political entity. It's one that is established in the hearts and minds of the believers. And it's the very presence of where God and his power, the Holy Spirit, will soon dwell in each believer, giving testament to the transformation that will soon take place. Jesus responds that God sets the timetable of when such events happen worldwide, nationally, and local, and even personal too. When we want to see God move and intervene, we can become impatient, and we are to trust in his timing. Jesus continues, "You will receive the Holy Spirit, and when you will be my witnesses, telling everyone about me in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus' disciples stood in awe as Jesus ascended into heaven. Two angels robed in white said, "Just as he has left, he will also come back the same way." The disciples are now in a strange situation of being called and commissioned, but they are to wait for the empowering of the Holy Spirit to come and equip them. Can you think of a time perhaps when your former boss or current boss has asked you to work in a team to do a task, you're ready to go, but you got to wait? Or perhaps you're waiting for a friend to come round and they're late. Or you're waiting for that car parking space to empty up. Or standing in the longest queue ever and you're waiting to be served. I don't know about you, but and I'm sure Emma can testify to this, but I am really impatient sometimes. And I just like to get things done. But the problem with that is when we rush ahead, we miss the detail. We leave God out sometimes. And of course, we can often leave people behind. And of course, these are unintentional because get caught up in the excitement of getting the job done. But I've come to realize that there is holiness while we wait. Dwelling in God's presence, seeking his guidance and waiting for him to move, speak and send. There is holiness as you wait for the frost in the garden before putting your plants out. I've learned that the hard way. There is holiness waiting for your friend to come round to still your thoughts. And there is holiness when waiting for God. There's a game my kids and I know other kids here like to play. It's called Stuck in the Mud. And when you run round, if you're not familiar with the game, you run round and someone will tag you and you've got to freeze and wait because you're stuck in the mud until someone else in your team then comes and untags you or whatever the word is. You get the idea anyway. Unsticks you, thank you. So you get the idea. So the question I've got for you today is, are you stuck in the mud? You might be thinking, Adam, what on earth are you asking here? Perhaps today you might be feeling uncomfortable with the circumstances you are in. Do you feel not valued or motivated? Do you feel as though you're stuck in a hamster wheel and life is just running around in circles? And perhaps there has been even a call from God for you to do something, but you put it away to deal with later, or you're ignoring it because of your self-esteem. I know I have in the past. God called a bunch of 20 to 30 aged men who made lots of mistakes, who doubted Jesus when there was clear evidence in front of them. They also got angry. They slept when they shouldn't. But yet they were called by name, by God, Is God calling you into something today? A famous evangelist, G. Campbell Morgan, once said, "Waiting for God means the power to do nothing." This is not the lack of power to do anything. Waiting for God needs strength rather than weakness. It is the power to do nothing. It is the strength that holds strength in check. It is the strength that prevents the blundering activity, which is entirely false and will make true activity impossible when the definitive command comes. When I left school, I worked part-time in an engineering firm, and they were decided to go paperless. And so I had mountains of boxes of paperwork to scan and put into a right folder. And so that's a very simple task. And then the other side, when I wasn't working, I was training to be a youth worker. And so did that for a number of years. And then after a few years, I moved into what you may call a proper job and went into full-time work. I felt that there is something that God is calling me into, but I didn't quite know what that might be. And so for a few years, not being satisfied, and due to different circumstances, I would then moved on to different jobs year after year after year. And this kept going on for some while. I then applied for a full-time youth worker position, and I really felt God calling me into that. I spent time on the presentation. I got my timing right. I even got myself a haircut. And I didn't get the job. I was so annoyed and angry at God. And I think maybe a week or two may have passed, and my vicar asked me to come round for a catch-up, so I arrived. And he said, "Adam, I believe you are called into ordained ministry." Now, although I am ordained and soon to be priested, there is still waiting to be done. And in that waiting is the holiness of where you sit in God's presence, when you're surrounded by all thoughts and what could be, but you have no idea reality of what could actually be in reality. So you just need to wait, trusting God's timing for the next season. And in that waiting, we begin to have a understanding of experiences, and we turn that into a beautiful story, and we learn from them experiences that we can then pass on and enable others in the next season. So waiting is holiness. So if you are stuck in the mud today, be in the holiness of waiting. And we are transformed while we wait. Just like the disciples had to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, they had to stay together in a room. The person that they've just trusted and still trust has left them. And they are to wait for God's presence. So if you're stuck in the mud, and whilst we are waiting to be transformed, we need to learn to listen to God. It's really important that we listen, because that story of waiting is important for the next season. Now, of course, we do not need to wait like the disciples, because the Holy Spirit is here in each and every one of you. And so I encourage us all to wait for the Holy Spirit to come to speak to us. So let's wait and dwell in God's holy presence and see what he has in store for us today. Amen.